Sermons from the Journey is the audio podcast of the weekly message preached by Reverend Becca Gorell, pastor at Lebanon United Methodist Church in Lebanon, New Hampshire, and blogging at pastorbecca.com. Thanks for listening.
The message title today is Bullfrog Spirituality. There's an adjective that goes before bullfrog. See if you can pick up what it is. This week is the ninth anniversary, the past week was the ninth anniversary, of a powerful religious experience in my life that did not go the way I expected. And I want to share it with you. 9 years ago, I was preparing for ordination as an elder in the United Methodist Church. And I was excited about that. That's the fruit of a lot of long, hard years of work and prayer and mentoring and wrestling. I thought a lot about Jacob and the angel wrestling in the night during that time. And so there was tremendous joy and hope and promise. And I was set to go to a retreat with all of those being ordained in my conference and a neighboring conference. It was in part a silent retreat. This is where we run into the first problem, because me at a silent retreat isn't great. Right, thank you. Yeah. That's not what I consider a great spiritual discipline or practice or something that I find particularly uplifting, a silent retreat. Okay. It was my birthday, my 30th birthday. Well, now you know exactly how old I am. Now you know exactly how old I'll be next year so that you can make fun of me more then. And it was the 3-month anniversary of my miscarriage. Between Ari and William, I was pregnant, and I had told my congregation because I was almost to that magical 12-week mark. But at 11 weeks and 5 days, I miscarried. And the 3-month anniversary of that loss fell on my birthday, fell during this silent retreat, right before Mother's Day, and as I'm celebrating being ordained. It was a kind of poignant time. It was a hard time. The whole retreat wasn't silent, but we were sent out that morning, the morning of my birthday, to be in silence. We had kept silence from the evening before through, we broke our fast in silence, we went out in silence, and then we would come back together and share a full meal and share what God had revealed to us in this time of silence. Great. Now, as a for example, there was a young man at this retreat. And here's what he shared when he came back. He went out into the woods. We were at this beautiful camp and retreat center in New York called Sky Lake. Not Sky Farm, for those who know that. That's further up in New York State. Sky Lake is a Methodist camp and retreat center in the southern tier of New York. So we're at this lake, it's May, we're at this beautiful lake. So this young man goes out into the woods. He too is about to be ordained, you know, it's a very exciting time for him. He goes out into the woods and he finds this clearing as the sun is breaking through the trees, and it's awash in purple flowers, like a carpet. And he sits himself down in the middle of the clearing, just in awe of God's majesty, like a royal carpet of purple. And he soaks that in. And he reflects on the beauty of God's creation and its peacefulness. And while he's sitting there, a bear cub enters the clearing, and it too sits in the clearing. Just sits there with him. And he is overcome with the beauty and the power, the amazingness of God's gift of creation, and this tender creature, tender yet a little bit scary. And his connection to this bear cub, because both of them are sitting in this clearing full of purple flowers, awash in the blessing of God's abundance. And so he reflects on that. And then the mama bear shows up across the clearing from him. And he knows the terror of God's power. He looks into the eyes of death across the clearing, because if she perceives that he is any threat to this bear cub, he is out in the woods by himself, and there is not a darn thing he can do about it. And so he comes face to face with mortality, with fear, with a God who is like a fierce mother bear. And he lives to tell about it. And so he is washed in God's grace and mercy. This is what my colleague experienced in his time in silent retreat in the woods. Isn't that lovely? Some people experience God like that. Praise be to God for that. Also, thanks but no thanks, guys, for sharing that story, because as you might guess, that's not exactly what happened to me. Well, I was out in the woods. I found myself a nice little spot by the edge of the water. And because it was early spring, you know, there's all that sign, the signs of new life that come up at spring, but they're kind of like breaking through the dead stuff, the grass and the fallen leaves. There's that great smell that you know is going to be like rich, fertilizing soil, but what it really is rotting dead things, you know, but that's where new life comes from. And here I am trying to hold all of this hope and possibility and all of this loss and sorrow in silence at the edge of the water. It felt very profound. There were no bear cubs. There were not even any purple flowers, for crying out loud. I sat on the log, determined to find God's presence in this beautiful morning as the sun comes up over the water and makes little sparkly diamonds across the surface of the lake. Oh, it's very poetic. It's very good. And something caught my eye just a little bit away from me. It was smooth and mottled, a strange kind of texture amid all the dead leaves. And it was just smooth. And I was curious. I was drawn to it. You know, there's this strange beauty in the simple things. And as I looked at it and I looked closer, I realized that what I was looking at was the underbelly of a bloated, dead bullfrog that was not 2 feet from my knee. And thankfully, I hadn't sat upon it at my lovely, beautiful spot by the edge of the lake. And it was like, really, in all of this, you couldn't give me a sign of life, God. You couldn't give me a flower. You couldn't, and then I have to go back and listen to my colleague tell his story about bear cubs and purple flowers and the she-bear that terrifies him but reminds him of God's power. And you gave me dead bullfrog spirituality. And that's my spirituality to this day. It's a dead bullfrog spirituality, because the first thing I got out of that was I just started laughing, because all I could hear was, so, like, what did you think you were? You know, like, yeah, ribbit, thanks. All I could hear was, don't go thinking too highly of yourself there, Becca. Some people get bear cubs, and sometimes you'll get bear cubs, and mama bears, and flowers, and sometimes you get a dead bullfrog. And I'm the God of the dead bullfrog, and I'm the God of the bear cub, and I'm the God of the happy young man who's had this mountaintop experience, and I am your God on your 30th birthday and the 3-month anniversary of the loss of a child you had longed for a very long time. When there is hope and possibility and loss, when there is new life that comes up out of the death of something and everything around it, I am that God too. So don't go thinking you need some bear cub and she bear in the midst of the woods. This bullfrog is what I got for you today. And you're just going to have to make your peace with that. And I kind of did. This is my relationship with God. I fully believe that God laughs at me, like a lot. Just kind of has a really good chuckle when I start thinking too much of myself. Just kind of takes me down a few notches. And I fully believe that God loves me. God loves me enough to send me a bullfrog, a dead one, on my birthday. You know, what a birthday present, thank you. God loves me enough to send me a reminder that God is God of all of life. And that when we say that all of life is holy, we mean all of life is holy. And when we say that God is with us in every struggle, we mean God is with us in every struggle. God is in every part of that lakeside. Yes, the clearing full of flowers and the dead leaves and the dead animals that are giving new life to the spring grass that we can't even yet see in this part of the lake. God is the God of magnificent miracles in our lives. And God is our God in the midst of profound loss, in the midst of sickness, in the midst of grief, in the midst of struggle. I find it so curious that Jesus reminds the disciples as he's about to take leave of them. He's about to leave. This is kind of traumatic for them. He's already done this once. It was pretty violent and scary. And now he's just going to go again. And he does this, and he goes back and doesn't say, remember all the good times we had together and all the wonderful stories I taught you and all the great things. He says, yeah, you know, that was good, but remember how I died. Like, in case you forgot that, because it was only a few weeks ago. Remember that part, and that was important, and that was part of the story. So that we can teach and share. And then he just kind of runs out on them. While they're watching, while he's yet blessing them, he doesn't stop blessing them, but he just goes. Why can he leave you like that? How can you do that, Jesus? But he just does it. And they return with joy. They return with joy. Joy is not this kind of empty, shallow, oh, everything's happy now. Even the joy that my colleague found in the flowers and the bear cub was mixed together with the terror that he found in the mama bear. Even the joy he found in the relief of what felt like his life being spared was mixed together with the confrontation of his own mortality. The joy I found at coming to peace with the way God is going to speak to me. It's not going to be burning bushes, and it's not going to be big flashy lights, and it's not going to be necessarily pretty flowers, although sometimes it is. But it's going to be these poignant reminders of the fullness of life, and you just got to take it. The joy that comes from making peace with that. It's not happy. It's not skipping around. It's not mayday. But it's a deeper awareness that it's going to be okay. That God is with us in this, whatever this is, whatever your dead bullfrog is that's just reminding you of something you'd rather not have to worry about or think about, an old pain, the dashed hope, right? But that God is in that too and is drawing yet from that place blessing and new life and hope that doesn't wash away the dead bullfrogs of this world. It just is held together with them. I had posted just that little tiny teaser that I put in News and Notes, right? Just the title of the sermon and only half of it, because it would more appropriately be called Dead Bullfrog Spirituality, but then that would ruin the punchline of my story. So I didn't put that. Just the title, Bullfrog Spirituality, and I had one little line about, you know, God of the flies and frogs and flowers and all of life. And Bill and Karen Hermanson, who have been here with us and attended, I was thinking of them in our circle with the kids, of people come and go from the circle, but we are still all connected, and the love and the story carries on. And Bill and Karen are out Minnesota. Yes, okay. Out in Minnesota, but they visit with us. And they obviously read the News and Notes because they emailed and said, that reminds me of a song. And I was like, ooh, now how did you know the whole shape of where I was going with my sermon from that one line? But it turns out I listened to the song, and it does indeed remind me of what I was trying to say. They got it just from that one little line. So I'm going to share that video with you. Oh, there's my frog. I'm going to share that video with you. It's called Holy Now. Everything is holy now. And the words are also on the screen, so you can receive them if hearing is hard.